anyone claiming that America's economy is in decline is peddling fiction.
I've abandoned free market principles to save the free market system.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Raising the debt ceiling does not increase our debt. It does not somehow promote profligacy.
I know words. I have the best words.
Nobody knows the system better than me, which is why I alone can fix it.
All right. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Peddling Fiction Podcast. He is Justin Hillbilly Boy Campbell. I am the voice and soul of so-called fiction, your host, Johnny Profita. What's going on?
Oh, nothing too much. Getting a little podcasting in early in the Saturday morning.
Yeah, bright and early for me. You know, it's funny, I was up like super. I always wake up like really early, I think just out of habit from working an office job for so long. I'm still conditioned to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. So I was up super early. It's, you know, it's almost 10 o'clock now, our time. But I was like, oh man, I feel good. You know, I'm going to get a nice start to the day, not sleep away half my Saturday as I've been inclined to do some of these, especially recently on vacation. But and then, of course, at like 8 o'clock, I just completely crashed again. I was exhausted. And as I was saying before we started rolling, that I have one of the worst cups of coffee I've ever made to start off my day. Day old, weak ass coffee. So that's how my day is going.
My wife always gets mad at me because I make the coffee too strong, apparently. I wasn't aware that there was such a thing as too strong a coffee, but I am told that I make this coffee too strong. But I mean, I work night shift. Like, I need something that's gonna, you know, jump up out of the pot and kick me in the balls. I can't have something that's like weak. Yeah. And that, you know, I don't need dark tea.
Right. Yeah, just like brown water. No, I usually, yeah, my coffee usually packs a punch. This one coffee maker I've been using, though, like if you put too much coffee grounds in it, it like overflows and starts spilling into the fucking, and it's only like half full. I don't understand what happens during this process. So I might have to go back to using the stovetop espresso thing. And but then you only get like one cup of coffee and you have to put so much work into it. I don't know. It is quite the fucking struggle here, I got to tell you.
I know. I've been told that the French press is the way to go, like every time.
You know, a guy I worked with would always have a French press in the office, and there's like a sludginess to it. It's like, it's not as, it doesn't have the clarity of going through like a good filter. I don't know. And it just like, I don't know, maybe he just did it wrong or ground the, you know, the stuff too fine or something.
I mean, maybe he was pressing it too fast. Like
that's
one of those things that it's got to be like a slow, even press. You can't just like ram that shit in, you know?
Yeah. It always seemed like it just had like a little bit of a body to it. And I was not, it was kind of like coat your teeth and stuff. I was like, yeah, fuck that. Getting a good cup of coffee is not as easy as it looks. But anyway, we got a lot to talk about today, which is why we're doing this Saturday morning episode. I don't know where you want to start, because we neglected to talk about Kanye on the last episode, and that actually worked in our favor because he has gone even crazier after his appearance on Tim Pool and just went full fucking lunatic with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones brings it out of everybody, but man, that was pretty wild. As we were talking before we started rolling, we have this Twitter thing going on now. I don't know where you want to start.
Well, let's start with the China stuff, because we did tease that at the end of the last episode, so we can knock we can knock through the China stuff real quick, and before we get into the all the craziness that's happened over the past couple of days with Kanye and Twitter and everything.
Yeah. China. What is going on over there? I mean, they are still freaking out, apparently, about COVID. They're still in lockdown mode. Have you seen these videos of them just like boarding up fucking entire buildings because one person tests positive or something like that?
There's also, there are videos of people like standing in line in the snow to get their PCR test for the day. And then there's also been a not insignificant amount of protesting and to a lesser degree rioting going on because of all of this stuff. Like I guess China has this zero COVID policy. Like which is insane. Like anybody that's taking a zero COVID policy isn't doing it for public health. They're doing it completely for totalitarian control.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is really incredible to see the lengths that they will go to control the people. And we've watched them put all these pieces in place leading up to this throughout their society with the social credit system and the facial recognition technology and all these things that we've been talking about in the US being like, hey, like this kind of shit, you know, they'll bill it as what, you know, whatever, to stop terrorism or some other stupid fucking lie that they'll come up with. And then they will turn this on you at you know, once they get the excuse and enough people will go along with it. I mean, China in 2020, they had these lockdowns and I mean, you'd see videos of people freaking out a little bit, but nothing like what's going on now. And it is crazy to see the amount of control that they have. And you know, this population, I don't think it's too easy to get your hands on a firearm in China either. Yeah. No. They've got the perfect recipe to oppress people. And I mean, I don't know, how are these riots going? Are they looking like they're going to be successful?
There was a funny meme that I saw.
Are they mostly peaceful?
Mostly peaceful.
God, I mean,
there has been some instances of violence breaking out, but it's mostly peaceful. But still, I mean, you're protesting against a super authoritarian Chinese government. So, like, just because you're being peaceful doesn't mean that their response is going to be peaceful. There was a funny meme that I saw that it said that that the protesters were approaching Tiananmen Square, and then it had like the Marty McFly saying, and it said the West, and it was Marty McFly saying, "Hey, I've seen this one," and then it was the kids, and it said China. Say, what do you mean you've seen it? This is brand new.
I didn't see that one. I did see the one where they replaced all the tanks with the fucking COVID patrol guys and their like whole get-ups and the one dude standing in front of them. It is, you know, it's pretty crazy. I haven't been following the US corporate press on this, but if I were to guess, they're being fairly hypocritical in their support. Are they supporting the rights of the people to protest an oppressive government? Yet, you know, a few months ago, they were telling us how all these lockdowns are what you need to do to save lives and your civic duty or whatever.
Yes, because it's China. They are completely on the side of the protesters, and China is this terrible authoritarian regime, and we need to support these people standing up to authoritarianism. Only, you know, it was just a couple years ago where anytime anybody like us suggested doing the same thing when this was going on here, we should be thrown in jail, locked up,
put in camps, denied health care, denied basic, you know, civilities throughout society. Yeah, we were, you know, killing grandma. We were the scum of the earth. It really is just, and I don't even have to I don't even have to watch it to know exactly what their fucking position is going to be. Oh, that's just, that is just wonderful. It's fucking assholes.
This whole thing is kind of a preview of the whole ESG thing. Like, the reason this is going on the way it is because China has that social credit score, and everybody has a, like a, basically it's like a COVID passport for the day, for lack of, you know, that was the big buzzword at the time when COVID was really hot and heavy, was, you know, the COVID passport. And for lack of a better word, that's what it is. Like, you have your social credit passport, and part of that is you have to go get PCR tested every day. And if you test negative for COVID, then you get, you know, your social credit pass is green and you can do whatever you want. And if you either don't get tested or you test negative, then you're not green and you're going to be put on restrictions and you're not going to be able to go to stores and you're not going to be able to go shopping and you're not going to be able to do anything. Like, it's, everything is based on, like, did you do all the things that they told you to do? Like, they're reducing the people to fucking elementary school students with really strict parents. Like, yeah, did you,
you have to get a hall pass?
Your bed? Did you brush your teeth? Did you put on deodorant? Like, you know, you've got this checklist of all the shit that they say that you have to do. And if you don't do all of the things that they say, then you don't get to do anything else either.
Yeah, I think you might have reversed it. You need a negative test to be able to go about society, right? If you test positive, then you're fucked. Right. Yeah, I think you just flipped it around. But people know what you meant. And it really is just, and they can, you know, it's not just COVID. Again, like, they can add things to this list that you need to do. Now that they have it in place, it could be anything that the government decides, because you've given them this power. They can just be like, oh, well, did you do this today? If not, well, you can't access your bank accounts. You can't fucking do this. You can't do that.
And China's been doing that anyway. That's they've had, you know, this whole social credit score thing. If you misbehave on social media, then they'll use that to ding you and to lock you out of your bank accounts or whatever. Like, it's, you know, they've already been doing that, and it's just getting ramped up even further now. I mean, one of the things we were going to talk about was how Apple was, like, suppressing the use of these, like, messaging apps and stuff like that, that the protesters would use to like coordinate and to plan, like, their protests and stuff. And Apple was, like, turning those functions off so that they couldn't organize and coordinate.
And obviously Apple has a vested interest in helping China, because that's where all the fucking phones are made and all the chips and everything. Yeah, fuck Apple, dude. I never use Apple products. I hate them, and it's just a fucking racket. I mean, every time they come out with a new phone, they just change the fucking charging cord and move, like, the fucking other, you know, they just move it around a little bit and charge you another fucking $500. It's like, fuck you guys. You're goddamn, like, every accessory you have to, like, buy everything. You know, it's like everything's sold separately. Ugh, disgusting.
I have an iPhone, but it's the only reason I have an iPhone is because I've had an iPhone since, fuck, I can't remember, like 2008, 2009. Like, I've had an iPhone for so long that it's,
yeah, people just, it's just what they use. And I never got on that train, and I'm so fucking happy that I did.
I mean, I've got an iCloud that's 15 years old that has, like, every picture of my kid from birth up to now saved on it. Like, I, you know, I can't really just abandon ship on that, I guess. I'm kind of,
yeah, they got you. That's how they fucking hook you. And
although, if Elon, because there was talk on Twitter when there was talk of Apple suppressing the Twitter app or removing it from the App Store, people were asking Elon, they're like, all right, so if that happens, what are your thoughts on making a phone of your own? And he's like, yeah, we can do that. So, like, the Tesla phone, I think I would go into the iCloud and just pull everything off of that and abandon ship on iPhone and jump to the Tesla phone, whenever, or the SpaceX phone, or whatever it ends up being, whatever cool name he comes up with.
Is it going to be a phone or just the microchip that he implants behind your fucking ear? It's me talking about doing that too.
I saw an article about that, but I didn't look at it.
Neuralink.
The Neuralink thing.
Dude, the technology is getting to a point where it's like fucking every day we're getting closer and closer to an episode of Black Mirror, if it hasn't already happened yet. And, you know, why aren't we diverting some of these Ukrainian funds over to China? That's what I want. Let's like send these guys some weapons, couple, you know, funnel another $80 billion or so through some.
I think they approved another $10 billion to go over there. So
to Ukraine.
Yeah.
But you know, if this is, you know, if these protesters have a point and they're fighting for their freedom, why aren't we supporting them with weapons and money? And changing all of our fucking profile pics to a Chinese flag.
I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna change my. I'm gonna put a Chinese flag. I'm gonna put a Chinese flag in my Twitter profile. That way, people know that I support the.
I stand. Chinese. Yeah, I stand with China. Yeah, man. What a. I mean, I couldn't imagine like not leaving that country, like doing anything possible to get out of there, even before 2020. But after 20, like they opened up for a while, right? They went back into these lockdowns like really hard because, you know, like last year it seemed like things were easing up a little bit, and then yeah, like that was your opportunity to get the fuck out of there. Why? What is so appealing about China? There's just billions of fucking people in your way everywhere. And you have like one of the most oppressive governments on the planet. I mean, the potential for things to go bad was really, really strong. And I just feel really bad for these people. I don't know what to say. I mean, go ahead.
I think the biggest problem is like the... China has, I think it may very possibly be the most millionaires and billionaires on the planet, but at the same time, they also have the overwhelming majority of their population lives at a income level that, like, what we consider poverty level, it doesn't even come close to scratching, like, how far into poverty they are. Like, they just literally have no means to do anything other than basically go stand in line, get their PCR test so that their car turns green so that they can go to work and hopefully not die in the process and then go home. Like that is their life.
It is crazy. The gap that they have there and just the level of poverty. That's why like the people working in these factories and you see all these like pompous Americans being like, oh, they're only making like $5 a day or something. Like, I don't remember. I don't know what they're getting paid, but it looks like a fucking like slave labor. And, you know, the fact of the matter is it's one of the best options they have. It's what, you know, it's why they're choosing to do it, because if they don't do that, who knows what they're going to have to do to survive. And it is a really tough situation, and you never want to find yourself without options, which is, you know, if 2020 taught us anything, it's that you need to be able to move when things get really, really bad. And the only way to be able to do that is to have multiple streams of income, multiple options. You need to be flexible and mobile and ready to, you know, get out of Dodge when these fucking maniacs start implementing these controls on you.
That as an opportunity to tease the Mikhail Thorpe interview that'll be coming out sometime later this month before we have to start a new one of these.
Yeah, have you listened to it yet?
No, not yet. I got everything downloaded and I'm ready to.
Do you have my audio? Did my audio come through? Yeah. That fucking thing, it happened again, like right, like a minute in. It's just like, we're having trouble. Would you like to refresh? And I was afraid to refresh it. So I just opened up the program that I record everything into and just turned the recording on there. So I have the audio. Thankfully, I won't have to go and redub it. But yeah, I had a great conversation with him about, how to relocate. Like basically that's what he does. He specializes in high net, you know, he privately works with high net worth individuals, but he specializes in finding the best country for you to, you know, claim residency, to be able to get out of these types of situations. And he puts out a lot of free content too. It was a really interesting conversation. So we will be putting that out. Yeah, probably in the next couple of weeks. There is no time rush on that. So he had already had his summit and everything. So sometime before the end of the year, I've
heard him several times on other shows. Like he's been on Lions of Liberty when Mark Claire was still on there. He's been on with Buck on Counterflow, like, and listening to him talk about that stuff. I played some clips and stuff for Stephanie, and I was like, we should move to Puerto Rico. We should move to like one of these, you know, like island territories and get the fuck off the grid. I was like, listen to all this stuff. Like we could for real do this. It's not outside the realm of possibility just for like even normal people to be able to do that kind of stuff. Like you don't have to have huge assets. He works a lot with like very wealthy individuals, but you don't have to be super wealthy to be able to make a move. You just kind of have to be willing to do it.
Right. Yeah. And we barely scratched the surface. We talked for about an hour. There's just so much to go through because it's so goddamn complicated to avoid all of these governments and all their regulations and how difficult they make it just to live the way you want to live. It really is just unbelievable. The amount of knowledge that he has, like personally, I understand why he charges so much, because it's like fucking, my mind was just like spinning. I couldn't keep up with all these things that he was talking, like, you know, he'd just like start naming forms and like shit that you got to do, and it's all just to get around the controls that they've put in place. I mean, we look at China and we're like, oh man, they have it really bad, and they do, but they got us by the fucking balls too. I mean, they got us by the short hairs for sure. It's really hard to get out from the US government. And you know, I've talked about this before on the show. One of two countries in the world that taxes you on your global income, regardless of where you earn it from. The other one's some little fucking place in Africa that nobody's heard of, that Mikkel knew the name of and I can never remember. But the U.S. will come for you. Unless you renounce your citizenship, and then you look into doing that, and it's like thousands of dollars to fill out the fucking form. If you have a business, a lot of assets, you basically have to pay an exit tax on all these unrealized gains. Like if your company's worth 10 million, you have to, even if you're not like selling the company, you have to pay them based on what that company's valued at currently in order to be able to get out from under the, you know, the foot of the US government. It is insane. And we're not far off from fucking China. We just aren't. You know, China is sort of like the, you know, the canary in the coal mine or so, like they're where we're headed. They're just a little farther up the road. And it's like the fucking media in the US, like carrying water for our oppressive government, and then turning to their left and being like, oh, these Chinese people are so oppressed, let's support them fighting them. Fuck those guys. Because they're going to be the first ones to make sure that everything the U.S. government wants to do in order to put us in the Chinese situation gets implemented.
And now we got to figure out how to tie that into it being the Jews' fault. That way we can jump into Kanye.
Well, obviously the Jews control the media. That's one of the things that they control. So
no, you can't say, if you say that, then that's what gets you in trouble. Never mind that if you pull up the roster of everybody who's in control of all of these countries, all of these companies and banks and everything else, it's like the most Jewish names you've ever seen in your life.
A lot of Steins in there. Yeah.
There's a lot of Steins in there.
Hey guys, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Lorenzotti Coffee.
You know them well by now. They are our oldest and longest running sponsor. We love these guys. We love their premium Italian coffee that they deliver right to your door. So do yourself a favor. Get your mornings started right with the taste of freedom. Go to lorenzotti.coffee and use promo code FICTION so they know I sent you, and you'll get 10% off your order. That's Lorenzotti, L-O-R, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, Z as in Zebra, OTTI.coffee, promo code FICTION. Get all of your coffee and coffee supplies from these guys. And not only are they fans of the show, but they've gone above and beyond the call of duty as a sponsor. So go order some coffee, order an espresso machine, get a coffee grinder, do it all at lorenzotti.coffee, promo code FICTION. All right. All right. We are back. So Kanye, fresh off of walking off the Tim Pool show. Do you watch Tim Pool at all?
I watched Tim Pool briefly a couple of years ago when I first really started getting into this stuff, and I'll watch some if he has certain guests on that I want to see or want to see what they have to say, but I don't watch his show regularly outside of that. And for this one, I watched it for as long as Kanye and Milo Yiannopoulos and Nick Fuentes were on there, and then once it became very apparent they weren't coming back, then it's like, all right, I don't really care what Tim Pool has to say.
Yeah, it surprises me that his show is as big and successful as it is. I'm like, I'm not taking anything away from this guy. I mean, his podcast is much more successful than mine. I just don't understand why. I'm always kind of bored watching it. Unless, of course, the guest, he has like a guest that I want to hear. But those are like kind of few and far between. Like a lot of times he'll have like some random like congressman on or something. I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? And you're going to sit here and talk for like 2.5-3 hours or something. They do a good job of covering the news, though. They always have, I think they cover the right topics and everything. But yeah, I wasn't even watching this until I saw the tweets or something about like, oh, Kanye just stormed out. And so I put it on, I rewound it and I put it on, and I was just like, again, this is like super boring. I was like, oh, okay, this could be interesting. Like, let's see what happens. And they really didn't get into much. I mean, he walked out in like the first like 20 minutes, right?
Yeah. And it shouldn't have been surprising. Like if you're doing interviews, you have to kind of know how to guide the conversation to make it interesting and engaging and not, you know, completely piss off the guest. And like, yeah, like that's one of the things that you want to get into at some point, but like, don't lead with that. And he just led with that. Like he jumped straight into the whole anti-Semitism and this article talking about Trump having Kanye and Nick Fuentes for, you know, at the dinner or whatever. Like he went straight into it head first. Like that, right? You know, you're
and I mean, you could tell Tim didn't want to. At one point he's like, are we really going to start with the Jew thing? Because like you just had dinner with the president, and like that could have been interesting to know what it's like to have dinner with Donald Trump. I'm surprised it wasn't at like a McDonald's or something. But
again, like, that was Tim's fault. Like
we'll get to that.
Yeah, he's the one that started the conversation with talking about that article. Like, you had every opportunity in the world to open up the show and talk about literally anything else with Kanye and Milo and Fuentes, and instead you went straight to that. Like, where did he expect it to go?
Yeah, I couldn't imagine trying to steer a conversation with Kanye, though. That guy's just fucking the way his mind is functioning. It would be very difficult to, it's sort of like herding cats, you know, he's going in fucking 25 different directions at once and just saying all of this, you know, he'll talk for like 30 seconds and I have no idea like what he's talking. He'll cover like, you know, he'll throw out like four different things and you just have no idea really what he was talking about, especially on Tim Pool. And then, so he storms out of there over like practically nothing. I don't understand why he was so upset. Like, he wasn't getting like a lot of pushback or anything like that, but he storms out. He goes on Alex Jones, a day or two later. And he made himself pretty clear. He clarified all of his comments that he wanted to talk about, I guess, on Tim Pool. And I think by now people have probably heard all of the little clips that have been floating around Twitter. I don't even know. How do you listen to Alex Jones these days? Like, how do you do it? To go on like the dark web or something?
Sort of. There's a link. It's on like a it's like band.television or something. Like, there's, you can get to it, but it's you kind of have to backdoor your way into
it. Yeah, it's like way too much effort for me. Like, so I'm surprised that
and to be fair to Kanye, the soundbite blurb clips make it sound a lot worse than what it really was. Like, there was more context and clarification in the things that he was saying, but also, like, the things that he was saying were pretty batshit crazy. Not completely crazy. I don't know. If you've done enough history or research of history on, you know, the rise of the Nazis and everything, kind of what was happening, like, there are some things that when you look at it, especially in the context of, like, modern society and things that are going on today, there's some things that make sense, but, you know, maybe the application of what they were trying to do might have gone a little too far. But, you know, some of it makes sense.
Okay. Now I feel like I'm Alex Jones and you're Kanye West. You love Hitler, huh?
I'm just saying, maybe he was misunderstood.
Yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I can't imagine what kind of context, especially this day and age, where you just be like, no, I love Hitler. He had some great qualities about him. Like, all right, man. I don't know. I was joking around with like some of my buddies. I was like, maybe they were talking about his artwork because I heard he had some potential there.
Oh, God.
And you know, he did have quite the, did he talk about his clothes? Like, he liked his outfits or something? I only saw like a couple clips on Twitter and I got the gist of it. Did you watch the actual episode?
Not all of it. I need to watch all of it. I've watched the bulk of it.
It was pretty, the longest clip I ever saw was like maybe a minute or so. It was really fucking interesting to watch Alex Jones' reaction to it. And he's just got to be happy as a fucking clam because this makes him look like 10 times better than he was looking like a couple weeks ago. And just it's almost as if they're battling to see who can say something that will cost them more money. You know, he's like, what was his fine? $965 million. And then they tacked on like another half a fucking billion.
I think his total fine is up to like 1.2 billion or something like that.
Yeah, and Kanye's already lost like twice that in like fucking shoe deals and shit, and he's just putting the nail in that coffin. I don't understand what he was like, what his goal is here. Like, what is he trying to do?
Well, and then he came on Twitter and kind of went nuts, and then he got suspended from Twitter. Like, Elon finally was like, all right, that's enough, we can't do this. But again, in Kanye's defense, like, the last tweet that he put out was a picture of Elon with now I'm drawing a blank on the guy's name, but the dude is like a very prominent Jew who pulls a lot of strings in a lot of the like high money places. So like,
I mean, I understand why Kanye is so upset. I mean, if I lost like billions of dollars and, you know, he was married to Kim Kardashian. Were they married? They were married, right? So he got divorced. Like, she took his fucking kids away from him. She was banging that like goofy looking guy for a while. What was that guy's name?
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, who's just like slaying everything. And
how is he pulling all of the ass? And he is ugly as sin. Like, he must be hung like a fucking horse or something.
Yeah,
he's not even funny. No. He's a comedian and he's terrible. Like, what's the appeal?
I don't know, but I guess, like, you know, once you get one of those celebrity chicks, the rest of them just sort of fall in line, it seems like. I don't even know if you have to be packing like a fucking 13 inches or whatever, but anyway, yeah, I mean, like, dude, that seemed to really fucking break him mentally, like, and you know, that would be tough to deal with. And then you know it's not that it's all of these people in positions of power are Jewish, and like blaming everything on the Jews is unfair. It's more just like the fucking power structure that we have and their ability to control things. And I you know, anybody in that position, I think, would be taking advantage of that power. You know, like, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. I don't think it's anything inherently Jewish that, you know,
that was kind of the thing that Kanye walked out on with Tim Pool. Was like, Tim Pool was like, after Kanye goes through and like names and lists all of these different individuals who are in charge of these different banks and media companies and apparel companies and everything else that cost him these, you know, billions of dollars. You know, after he goes through names on all of these, then Tim Pool's like, yeah, but that just sounds like a bunch of individuals. Like, you can't group all them together. Right after Tim Pool had just said that Kanye would probably do well running for president because he could get the black vote. Like, you're going to group all the black people together as a voting block, but you don't lump all of the Jewish people together as controlling all of, you know, Hollywood and banking and everything else. So that was kind of where Kanye walked out on him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really small percentage of Jewish people. You know, it's like the thing that they do with like white male privilege, where they're just like, oh, like every fucking, you know, CEO is a white billionaire or like whatever. It's like, yeah, that's like 0.001% of the population. Then you have fucking white guys fucking digging ditches, you know, to fucking build something. So it's,
did we talk about this previously? The number, I think it's 12 and 84 get put together. Like 12% of the population of the world are the Jewish people, and 84% of the world's wealth is controlled by those people.
Those 12%. I'm not sure. It's kind of ringing a bell.
There are numbers you're not supposed to say like that.
That might have been in the, and then the other one was with like the crime rates, right? Crimes. Yeah. And I mean, I don't think they're doing themselves any favors by coming, you know, if they didn't go so hard at what was the first thing? Oh, because he said he was going to go like DEFCON on the Jews or something like that, right? And then they're like, oh, you're going to do that? Like, well, here's what we can do. Like, we can ruin you financially. We can make you a pariah in society and just like just completely ruin your life. And it's like, you probably could just let that go and it would have sort of fizzled out. Maybe, I don't know, like, people would be having Kanye on their shows to, like, you know, talk about all this shit. But yeah, like the point that we made on the last Kanye episode where we talked about this was like, yeah, he's like, kind of, they're kind of proving his point. And so you can see why he's so upset, because they really do. I mean, they've frozen his, like, you know, he can't, his banking apps don't work, right? He's, you know, he's losing all these, you know, contracts that he had in place. And, you know, the one thing on Tim Pool that he said that was like kind of interesting was that they're coming after him for taxes now. And I really wanted him to elaborate on that. Like, he doesn't really do a good job of explaining things, but that was kind of interesting. Like, oh, that's how they're going to get him. Maybe, you know, it's just like, oh, you know, because, dude, by the way, fucking taxes. My property taxes went up by 20%. 20%. And like, so I've been checking like every few months because there's just no information coming out about property taxes because the Cook County is just like behind on shit. So like last year, I think they only billed us for like, you know, there's two installments. I think last year might only been one, or like they were delayed. You know, it's like usually it's what is it, like February and August you get the fucking bill, and there's just like no bill coming. So I'm like, you know, I gotta have money for these property taxes. When are they gonna, you know, August comes, no bill. You know, September, October, November, no bill, no bill, no bill. I check it yesterday, just like I was like, oh yeah, let's see if there's the year's almost over. Let me see what I gotta fucking pay, you know, to own property. And yeah, just 20%, a 20% jump, which is insane. I mean, we're talking like an extra $1,400. Like, it's fucking crazy. It's $8,000 now a year in property taxes for not even a 1,200 square foot condo in Chicago. And obviously, you know, the streets are cleaner and safer than ever, and the school systems are fantastic. I'm not getting fucking videos sent to me by my buddies every couple of weeks of people getting carjacked and just fucking executed on the streets of Chicago. Some places, you know, some neighborhoods went up by, they fucking doubled, and you just have no warning about, like, how do you, only government can get away with just be like, hey, you know, I know you were planning on paying me, you know, like $3,500, you know, sometime at a time of our choosing, but we're going to make it 4,500. We're going to make it 4,800. How about that? And oh, by the way, you owe it to us at the end of the month, or we'll start charging you late fees. We can be as late as we want. It really is just fucking unbelievable what they get away with. And when you hear Kanye being like, dude, they're saying I owe like another billion in taxes. It's like, I can only imagine what that's like. But that's how they can just make up whatever they want. There's fucking 10,000 pages of tax code horseshit that you got to go through. And they'd be like, oh, you know, like article blah, 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 section 5C on page 2,875 of this code book, you owe us another $300 million. How about that? Or we'll put you in prison.
Well, I'm talking about how your tax dollars go towards schools and stuff. Saw a statistic earlier today, 54% of U.S. adults have a literacy level below sixth grade.
Yeah.
Over half of U.S. adults are less than a sixth grade.
Yeah, functionally illiterate. They don't know how to do basic arithmetic, which maybe that's why we can't even count the fucking votes in these elections, because they're using like Common Core strategies on how to count ballots. I mean, these school systems are an abject failure by any, you know, any rational definition of getting an education. And of course, if you actually know the history behind government schools, they, you know, they took it from the fucking Prussians, this model that you just basically indoctrinate kids and brainwash them to sacrifice themselves for the fucking state, then it makes perfect sense why they're not churning out free, open-minded, critically thinking, smart people. They're churning out fucking lemmings who just know how to take instructions and follow the science, listen to authority. You know, it's like, what do you think their science grades are of all the people that are following the science? I guarantee you they fucking flunked out of biology. but they know that Fauci is the one that you listen to.
And they probably passed everything with flying colors because they don't have the ability to question anything that they're told.
Well, the tests are racist, and yeah, so we'll just give you the right. Yeah.
Who was it? Somebody that was like, it was a quote that they said that schools don't teach students how to learn. It teaches them how to regurgitate information that they've been, or how to regurgitate things that they've memorized. Like they're not actually learning how to think critically and solve problems and stuff like that. They're learning how to memorize what's on a board, or now what's on a tablet, and then regurgitate that back to get an acceptable score. Like,
right. And that's exactly how the government wants its population to be, because they want to be able to tell you that this is the way it is. And then they want you to just nod in agreement and say yes, and then repeat after them.
Stupid people are easier to control.
Absolutely. Yeah. And not only that, you can get them to do your bidding for you. Like, they'll start controlling other people, as we saw during all the COVID fucking craziness.
It's like our dogs. So we have two dogs, and my dog is dumb as a box of rocks. If you put him outside, he won't go anywhere. He can't fathom like running out of the yard. The one time he got out of the fence, he just stood there with his head pressed against the fence and looked like he was like terrified. Like he wanted to come back in. The other dog, as soon as you put her out, she's looking for any jailbreak opportunity she can find to get out of the fence and go run amok through the neighborhood and the woods and everywhere else. Like, stupid animals are easier to control. Stupid people are easier to control.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly are. And I don't know how we went off on that. Oh, because Kanye was talking about his taxes. Yeah. And taxes, another great way of fucking controlling you. I mean, they can get you for anything. And of course, now they are going to try to get you for anything. Have you seen there's some articles floating around about the $600 Venmo, you know, PayPal transactions that you're going to have to report that income now to the IRS on your, you know, it's another form you got to fill out. I think it's a 1099-K or something like that for any of these transactions over $600.
Now, Johnny, I was told that we were conspiracy theorists and that was not going to happen when we were telling people that this is literally exactly what was going to happen like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I can only imagine that this is how all the millionaires and billionaires do business, is through, you know, $675 PayPal transactions. I mean, do you have any idea how many, let's do the common core math on this, how many $650 transactions it takes to get to a billionaire? It's like, dude, this was so obvious. I'm not even like taking a fucking victory lap on this one, because it's just like, obviously they're going to say they're going to, you know, they need to tax the rich in order to give the fucking poor people all these great things. I mean, that was the original pitch of the income tax. And then, of course, the first thing they fucking do is start coming after all the, you know, the general population. There aren't that many millionaires and billionaires to go after. All of the money is in the middle class and the lower, you know, people starting these side gigs, trying to give themselves options, trying to get multiple streams of income so that they can get out from the fucking clutches of these oppressive governments. And what are they going to do? Yeah, they're going to start fucking dinging you now for any fucking $600 plus transaction. Oh, God, you know, I almost want it to happen to all of these fucking lemmings that are proponents of this thing, who have never seen a tax increase that they didn't like, you know, because they always believe these politicians. And it's just like, dude, you guys get what you fucking deserve. But for the rest of us, we don't deserve this shit and we should be excluded.
Well, the problem is they won't be the ones who actually get dinged with any of this, because this is almost exclusively targeted at small private business type, like entrepreneurial type people. Like, you, like the people who are working a normal 9-to-5 job for, you know, whatever big corporation, they're not doing this. This is almost exclusively set up to go after anybody who's doing something entrepreneurial and like going out on a limb to make something for themselves in life. And that's been the whole COVID narrative, was destroy small businesses. You know, taxing $600 Venmo and PayPal transactions, that's just a further way to go after small businesses.
Like, yeah. Well, I mean, because, and go back to the education thing, they don't want you to be free. They want you to be dependent. Everything they tell you from fucking preschool through college breeds dependency. Every fucking program breeds dependency. Even, you know, I actually gave my talk at this at that Mariposa festival last weekend, was like on this subject, like this life formula that they propagandize everyone to follow. It breeds dependency. It keeps you locked into a geographic location, tied to one company with no, like, your only option is to like pick up and move and start all over from scratch with no income coming in. And the ultimate goal is maybe you make it to 67 and you can try to claw back some of the money that they stole from you when you were 27 in the world's largest Ponzi scheme. And even that, just think about Social Security. They're like, oh yeah, we'll save you. They didn't save anything, and it's a fucking Ponzi scheme, and it's a horrible investment. The return, the ROI, the last numbers I saw on Social Security was 1.2%. Like, that's if you make it to that's if you live to 78. So you can collect 10, 11 years worth of benefits. If you make it to the average age, you will make 1.2% over inflation on all that money, which is just pathetic, dude. If you had a private money manager making you 1.2%, you would fucking fire that guy. I mean, even if you just bought treasuries directly from the fucking government, you'd get a better yield than that. So not only is it a horrible fucking investment, but the mechanics of it, it's like, okay, you made it to 67. Hey, can I get some of that money? It's like, yeah, can I get it all at once? No, you got to come back to me every month. I'll give you just enough so that you can make it to the next month. And, you know, it's like a fucking pimp with his whores. Just gives them just enough to fucking live so they keep coming back to him. The whole fucking thing is about breeding dependency. And I forgot how I went off on that rant.
We get fired up today.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is what happens when we do morning podcasts.
Yeah. This weak ass coffee. But yeah, the whole system is designed to fucking control you. And so, yeah, they're not going to make it easy for you to extricate yourself from the system, to create your own business where you can, you know, operate from hopefully anywhere in the world once it gets off the ground. No, they're going to fucking chop you off at the knee, like every step of the way. Just make it as difficult as possible through regulation, just taking more and more money from you. I mean, the opportunity costs of all of these taxes that you're paying are unbelievable. Like, imagine how much wealthier you would be if you didn't have to pay into the world's largest Ponzi schemes and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. That's like, you know, we're talking probably just Social Security alone. I think it's like 12.5% now is basically what they're taking from your paycheck. I mean, it's half from you and half from your employer, but it's all from you. Your employer just deducts it from what they would be paying you, and they give it to the government instead. So that's 12.5%. It was 15% for a while, or close to it, right off the bat, like 15%. And then they get you with these fucking property taxes if you own something. And then they get you for your fucking $600 Venmo transactions because, you know, you sold some t-shirts or something. And then they get you on the sales tax. It's just like, Jesus, man. My sister, I was talking to my sister about this randomly, and she's like, yeah, I just saw this like pie chart of how much I actually get to take home from my paycheck. And it's like 65%. Just like, yeah. Yeah. And believe me, she's not a millionaire or a billionaire. She's just making slightly above average salary, I guess, you know. She does pretty well, I guess, but she's not like a fucking millionaire. She's taking home maybe 65%. And that's
between $750 and $800 every 2 weeks is what gets taken out of my check. Like literally 20 grand a year is what I'm losing off the top.
Right. And all of that money seems to just be going into the pockets of these pussy politicians. I mean, they're becoming millionaires and billionaires and, you know, people who are just trying to fucking make a life for themselves are just getting fucking cut down left and right. And they keep coming for you. This is the fucking Venmo transactions. Get the fuck out of here. It really is just the unbelievable. And they've done such a good job of conditioning idiots that they think this is a great idea. They support taxation. They're like your fucking dog. Like, you know, he's been in the fucking, he's been caged in the backyard so long, he's afraid to be out of it. And it's like, yeah, these are the prices we pay for society and blah, like your fair share, dude. Remember when they first started fucking talking about that, when Obama was like, pay your fair share in taxes? Oh, I remember, I was like, fair share. When the fuck did that make it into the American lexicon? How far we've strayed from the foundation of a free fucking America, man. It really is just unbelievable. I would love to just wake up like some like Thomas Jefferson and just walk him around society today and be like, this is where we're at. How are we doing so far?
They talk about, you know, whenever they talk about fair share, it's like, okay, take whatever the tax rate is for the highest income level, apply that equally across the board and see how happy you are about that. Like
fair share, then it should just be a flat percentage. Right. Why, yeah. Like it, like, you know, who cares about the dollar amount that you're paying? It should be, you know, 10% or 20% or 30% or whatever, you know, retarded number they come up with. But if it's going to be fair share, then everybody should pay the exact same percentage of what they earn. But that would be, you know, that'd be too easy to do your taxes then. The $1 billion, you know, multi-billion-dollar industry of preparing your tax documents to keep you out of prison. Don't think that they aren't lobbying these fucking congressmen left and right to make these tax codes as complicated as fucking possible. I'm actually considering not doing my own taxes next year for like the first time. It makes me so fucking angry doing it that I think I need to farm it out now. Just for my mental health. Like, they'll probably figure out. I mean, say what you want about the Jews, but they know how to fucking get around that tax code too. So there are, you know, it's a, it's a, you know, it's a plus and a minus here.
Yeah, they're a little bit frugal with the money.
Yeah. You
know, pinch a penny.
I need a great Jewish accountant to figure out how to save me some fucking shekels. And, you know, like, even if it, like, I think it, you know, the math would work out in my favor. Like, they would be able to save me enough that it would cover the cost of hiring them. But even if it didn't, just the headache of fucking going through and doing all these taxes, especially when you have investments and now they're going to fucking start dinging me for all these little payments and shit. I'm thinking about just farming it out and saving myself the headache.
We've got an accounting firm that's always done the taxes for the farm, and so for literally as long as I've had to file tax returns, they've just done it for me. So yeah, I use them because they've got all of my stuff, like, for my entire tax paying life. So it's just easier. Like, I thought about doing it myself, and a couple of years ago I was like, you know, I can just send them. Like, they send me a packet, I fill the shit out and send it back to them.
Yeah, it's like a full-time fucking job. I mean, if you have a business, there's no way you can do your own taxes. It's fucking impossible. You'd have to be an accountant. It's way too complicated. And again, that's by design. That's not like a bug in the system. That is a feature of the system. It's working exactly how they want it to work.
Well, did you see the, like, Elon called... Senator Warren, Senator Karen, because she was talking about changing the tax code or something, and like all the spurgy leftists got all up on their high horse because the billionaire doesn't want to change the tax code. It's like, you know why these politicians always talk about changing the tax code but then never do any fucking thing about it? It's because they're all pulling in so much money off of their backroom deals on with insider trading and making these big, like, deals with corporations and stuff to push legislation in certain directions, that if they had to start actually, like, paying their fair share, their multimillionaire asses would be on the line for a whole bunch of fucking money too. So they don't have an interest in actually fixing the tax code. They just want to talk about it so you think that they care about you.
Right. Yeah. No, they don't care about anything that they're doing, anything that, you know, like these fucking Ponzi, these crypto Ponzi schemes, this guy's being fucking douchebags being paraded around like he's still some sort of hero, even though he stole billions of dollars from people. But you and your fucking $700 PayPal transaction, that's what they're going to go after. And, you know, the whole Kanye, to bring it back to the Kanye thing, like, I think Kanye, I tweeted this out, I think last night, Kanye could learn something from Sam Bankman-Fried, because apparently, like, you can, if you just say the right things, you can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, this guy's sticking to the script, and they're still, you know, he's speaking at like a New York Times event. He's doing these interviews, and people are still like, oh yeah, I believe it. You know, he just made some mistakes and blah, 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 blah. He's a good guy at heart. And man, it really is just unbelievable what you can get away with when you say the things that the powers that be want to hear.
Hey, throw a few million to Democratic campaigns and, you know, kiss the right asses and you can be a multi-billionaire. You can literally steal tens of billions of dollars and nobody will care.
Yeah. Not only that, you'll still be paraded around as like some good guy. I just made a mistake here and there. It's like unfucking believable, man. It is unbelievable. But also, speaking of Elon, you want to do the Twitter, get into this Twitter stuff?
We can try to do a rundown. It how long you want to take on it?
Let's do like, I don't know, 10 minutes or so.
Okay. Yes.
All right. So yesterday, and admittedly, I have not had a lot of time to dig into this. Something happened on Twitter to once again validate every goddamn thing we've said on this podcast over the last couple of years. Yeah, I mean, it's like being right so often. It's like I almost forgot what it's like to be wrong. But what happened exactly?
You know, it's funny you said that before we jump into this. It's funny you said that about the being right so often, the don't remember what it's like to be wrong. I actually had a Facebook memory of a video that I had done 2 years ago. December 3rd, 2020, when the COVID vaccine mania was ramping up and they were really starting to, because it was right at the end of November when they started to push the vaccine, and it was becoming like prevalent and it was a thing that they were talking really seriously about. And I went into great detail how the vaccine would not actually work, why it wouldn't work, what it was going to mean, that it was going to mean just repeated shots ad infinitum, that you weren't going to get a vaccine, you were going to be getting shots for the rest of your life if you did this thing. And like everything that I said in that video has turned out to be like 100% right. Like you would think people would start listening to us at some point when we're, you know, just this right. So
I always say, if you want to know what's going to happen tomorrow, listen to Peddling Fiction today. I mean, our track record I think is pretty fucking good. You know, a lot of these things aren't very hard to see. Oh, you know, one other thing, just so you guys know, here's what's going to happen before we move on from the Venmo transaction stuff. Now that they have that $600 threshold in place, any transaction is going to be there. They'll come after you for it. They'll just say, oh, like you've got repeated transactions for under $600. You're trying to skirt the new law, the new tax law. That's tax avoidance. We're freezing your accounts. That, I mean, they did that exact same thing with the $10,000 threshold from the anti-money laundering portions of the Patriot Act. It's like, okay, you have to report anything over $10,000, but if you do four things for $9,000, they'll come after you for that because it looks like there's a pattern developing of you intentionally avoiding the tax. So that's the next thing that they're going to do. After they can't get enough from the transactions over $600, they'll get you for everything under that as well because you're intentionally avoiding the tax. So
they've literally talked about that already. They're like, and in order to, we'll start looking into that as well, because we know that the $600, putting the $600 threshold on it means that people will start trying to skirt that by doing stuff for $599 or something like that.
So there
it's
you
like,
go.
They've already admitted that that's the next.
Okay. I didn't realize that they'd been so blatant about it. Well, there goes that prediction. Okay.
This is 2022, man. Like there is.
Yeah, no, they're just not hiding it anymore. No, they don't give a shit. Not
hiding anything anymore.
They unless they're actually putting bars around your fucking condo complex to lock you in there. It's fine. Everything's okay. That's the oppressive government over there in China. But everything up to that point is just, you know, your patriotic duty and good governance. Oh, anyway, what happened on Twitter that had everybody fucking going crazy last night?
So we're going to do the Cliff Notes version, and then we can get more in depth after we've had a chance to really dig through everything and look at it. But the Cliff Notes version, so Elon had announced that he was going to release all of the all of the Twitter files pertaining to the Hunter Biden laptop New York Post story. And he was going to do like a stream of it or something. Anyway, what he ended up doing was he gave all of it to Matt Taibbi, who Matt's a journalist. He's done quite a bit of stuff, actually. And he's a very good journalist. Like, he writes well. So Elon gave him all the stuff so that he could post this Twitter thread and go through all of it. And what it comes down to is the Biden campaign team, the DNC, and several high-ranking officials within the FBI were telling Twitter to suppress and take down and suspend and ban accounts who posted anything pertaining to the New York Post Hunter Biden story.
The laptop.
Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, they were also suppressing. So Kayleigh McEnany, Trump's press secretary, she got locked out of her account like at the peak of election season. And there are multiple emails from people within Biden's campaign or people within the DNC saying, hey, look at this person. They're saying bad things about Biden. Hey, look at this person. They're posting things about Biden. And then these Twitter basically content monitors would just email back and say, handled it. We took care of it.
Yeah.
We got it. Like, they're just like removing people. Let's see. James Woods was one that got targeted for some stuff. Like, there's all kinds of stuff. There's also campaign contributions from Twitter employees and stuff, that which nobody is surprised by this, but like the Twitter employees were just donating, and Twitter itself was just donating like millions of dollars to the DNC and the Democrats, and maybe I think altogether less than 25,000 went to like Republican candidates or like to the Republicans. Yeah. So there's a whole bunch of stuff with that.
I think there's a word for this, election interference. Does that ring a bell? It sounds like they're interfering in our democracy.
It's kind of what it seems like, you know. There's a whole bunch of stuff that there's a bunch of emails and screenshots of emails that go into different aspects of the whole, effectively. Vijaya Gadde was the head of content moderation for Twitter for a while. She was steamrolling all of this, or heading up all of this, like removing anything and everything that was unfavorable to Biden during the 2020 campaign. And I'm pretty sure she actually got a job with the Biden administration right after that. So
that wouldn't surprise me.
And go figure, right?
It is so fucking blatant. I still can't believe that there are people that buy into this system at this point. I mean, what they did with that laptop story was just unprecedented. Like, remember, you couldn't even share the link and things that we didn't even think they were able to control, they were able to totally do to you. And if they're doing it on Twitter, they're doing it on to all of these social media companies. I mean, I'm still getting every couple of weeks, I get locked out of Facebook because I posted a meme, a year ago that they found in one of our fucking meme streams or something of Hunter Biden. And they're still taking that shit down. Like, they'll still lock my account out. They'll ding us for whatever. And it is just unbelievable. The corruption between government and these social media companies is, it's literally our worst nightmare. It's everything that we've been warning about, everything that we've been talking about. And now that Elon's got his hands on it, he's posting the receipts.
Well, and it all goes in, and it all goes in one direction. Like I had this debate with somebody on Twitter last night. They said that that it's not entirely that the media isn't entirely run by Democrats. I was like, okay, show me the example where it's not. And so they sent me this list of the 15 billionaires who control all of the media. And outside of Rupert Murdoch, if you even consider Rupert Murdoch actually a conservative, like he's the owner of Fox News. Right. Outside of Rupert Murdoch, it's all Democrats. Every single one of them. It's like, okay, your point.
Well, Jewish people vote Democrat, man.
Oh, God. Go through that list and look at the Jewish names on it. Shit. Anyway, that's just circling back to conversations of earlier in the
show. How quickly we can get kicked off of Twitter.
But yeah, like they're all run. And even the ones that aren't explicitly like Democratic or Democrats, all of their campaign contributions, because this stuff is like it's public. They're required to report this stuff. If you go and find them, all of their campaign contributions go to fucking Democrats. Like Elon is the only one who doesn't exclusively support Democrats. And usually most of his contributions are kind of like down the middle. Like he supports some candidates on the right and he gives money to some candidates on the left. He donates to some Republican PACs and he donates to other Democratic PACs. And then I think in 2020, he didn't give campaign contributions to anybody. Like he didn't donate to any political party, period. Like he's the only one that's kind of like middle of the road on it. All the rest of he's the face of alt-right media giant now.
Right. Yeah, even though up until like this past election, he always voted Democrat, right? I think that's what he said. I mean, it seems to me it would just be good business to grease both sides of the aisle. I would be, if I was in his position, I would be paying off Republicans and Democrats alike. I always find it weird that they like all of these people just donate to one side of the aisle. But I guess that helps get more of their people into positions of power. So there's really no need to bribe the Republicans for anything.
What? Right. I mean, basically instead of betting on both horses, you're pushing all of your chips into one. That way you tilt the scales so far in that one's favor that you're not going to lose. Like,
right. And I mean, that's probably another one of the reasons why they were freaking out that Twitter might go into the hands of Elon Musk, because once you have all your eggs in one bet, it's like, even if our horse doesn't win, it's like, well, at least we still have control over all these fucking companies and the information that gets out there and who can speak and who can't speak. And now they've lost that. At least in theory, they've lost it. Elon's restored a bunch of accounts. Everybody but Alex Jones, and I guess, well, Kanye's out now too. we talked about that before, but it is very interesting to see Elon actually following through on some of this stuff. I'd like to see what else has been going on with the shadow banning. And, I know he brought in a bunch of coders from Tesla or something to review the code that was going on, through Twitter. And then like later that day, he just fucking axed like 12,000 employees. Like, all right, you guys are all fucking fired. So I think he definitely found something in there.
Well, so this dump on the Hunter Biden laptop story supposedly is the first of multiple. Like there's going to be more stuff. Dr. Jay Bhattacharya had tweeted like, now would be a good time to expose the suppression of the COVID stuff that was coming out like that. Hopefully that'll come next, because that's, the biggest story of the last 2 years.
It's nice that it's coming out, but again, it drives me fucking crazy how long it takes to get this stuff out. It's like, okay, well, now after the election, this comes out. It's always like 2 years later. Like nobody even fucking cares about the Hunter Biden laptop anymore because we're on to January 6th. But January 6th somehow still stays relevant for all this time. They'll never fucking let that go. I still see people tweeting, like, I guess some one of the guys just got convicted of sedition or something. And so they were like, you know, all these like retarded fucking leftists were like, oh, like, let's they posted like something that Britt Hume said. He's like, nobody's been charged with insurrection. And then this guy got charged and convicted. So now that's like they're like trying to dunk on that. Like, oh, a Washington, D.C. court convicted this guy of insurrection in Washington, D.C. It's like shocking.
I can't imagine how unbiased that kangaroo court probably was.
Yeah. I mean, after what we saw with the Alex Jones fucking trial was insane. And Jesus, yeah, I mean, dude, these people are fucking the biggest useful idiots you've ever seen. But it's amazing that something like January 6th is never going to go away. Like, pretty soon we're going to get that day off from school and work and shit. It's going to be a fucking holiday. And but like the hunt, like the biggest fucking propaganda campaign, trillions of dollars, thousands of people dying, and like just untold amounts of like lies and bullshit going around, that's gonna fucking fade away. And the Hunter Biden, like the biggest, one of the biggest cover-ups we've seen of a story, and corruption between a private company and the government utilizing the FBI was involved in this too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, using like government resources to go at private companies, to go at private citizens, to cover up a fucking story, to win an election. And that's, you know, 2 years later, we get the receipts on it. Up until yesterday, we were all just conspiracy theorists again. Anyway, we probably got to wrap there. Let's look more into, I want to look more into this, because I haven't had time to go through it. That thread, like, you saw how confused I was by it. It's going to take me a minute to get through all that shit. But I got a lot of time this weekend to dig into it.
Boomer ass.
Yeah. Yep. So let's see what else we can pull out of there and see how deep this rabbit hole goes. You got anything you need to plug before we roll?
Oh, nothing I can think of too much. I guess this upcoming week I've got an episode on Monday that I'm going to look at Twitter and the way they've handled child porn over the years, or more aptly, the way they've refused to handle child porn over the years. So that was, it's kind of some scary shit, like looking into what was going on at Twitter pre-Elon. Like, the more you look at the stuff they're doing, like, or the stuff that they were doing, you know, not just the Hunter Biden laptop suppression thing, but allowing like child porn and stuff to be on the site, is pretty nasty shit.
Yeah. Dude, it's so aggravating to even just think about that being out there, and then like stuff that we put out gets taken down. Yeah, it's like, okay,
right.
Yeah, because they're not, you know, pedophiles, they're minor attracted people or whatever. Okay, yeah, you guys are all a bunch of fucking sick motherfuckers, and I hope you all burn in hell. Anyway, hey. We on that note, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Pedal Fiction. Become a supporting listener of this show so that we can alert more people to what is going on, and hopefully before it happens, with our stellar record of predicting the future. And just wake more people up to this, to these fucking problems, because I don't think we're far off from finding ourselves in a Chinese type situation. Whether it's, you know, whether it takes that sort of form, or it's a more like passive aggressive thing where they just control your accounts and you can't really do anything, or they can just cancel you from society. So anyway, yeah, at Pedal Fiction, become a supporting listener of the show. I'll link to that in the description. Next Friday, we will do a happy hour for all the supporting listeners. And until then, we'll do a Tuesday episode. So until then, you guys know the drill. Just keep on peddling that so-called fiction. Peace.